Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm James.
Hi, everyone. And today we have a special guest. I'm very excited to introduce to you Pasquale Nakarada. Hopefully I pronounced your name right, Pasquale. Also known as the Peaceful Sage. So Pasquale's a spiritual coach who uses an integrative approach with angels, astrology, crystals, and energy. Each of his sessions are designed around your needs and include guidance from angels, spirit, and your higher self. His main passion is helping others live a more meaningful and fulfilling life. As a natural coach, Pasquale has used his intuition to guide people for many years. His approachability and his delivery of honest, compassionate truth with a blend of encouragement and humor makes his sessions real. Pasquale practices what he preaches, applying all of his teachings in his own life. Pasquale's spiritual journey began at a young age, realizing that he could connect to the spirit world. As an avid learner, Pasquale has studied courses in psychic intuition, mediumship, Reiki, color energy coaching, life coaching, astrology, and angel guidance. Pasquale is a husband, a father, a certified angel mentor, a Reiki master, and a certified color coach. So welcome, Pasquale.
Hi, you did perfect on my name. Thank you.
Oh, good. Great. I'm so excited to have you here today. So today we're going to be talking to Pasquale about our love-hate relationship that we have with our ego and how our ego misleads us. Where in contrast, we're going to talk about our intuition and how it guides us to where we're supposed to be. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to this conversation because this is something that I love teaching my clients about also. And I just love hearing, you know, a different perspective. So I'm excited to talk to you. So when I work with clients, and I have friends and family also who all struggle with sort of detaching from the ego or that voice of the ego, instead allowing their life to be led by their intuition. And I think a big reason that this happens is because they don't know the difference between the two. And it seems like a good first step is to figure out how to differentiate. So how can you give us some ideas of how people could start to recognize the difference between the ego and their intuition?
I would love to. And I'll tell you, like, I think it's taking a step back and first realizing that we're spiritual beings living a human experience, right? So the spirit side of us is part of the human side of us, right? And so when you're trying to understand and really get a strong sense of what ego versus intuition is, it's good to realize and recognize that we have that spirit, right? We're intuitive. We have that light, that connection, but we're also human, right? We're connected to the earth. We're trying to live life as a human, learn our lessons and move through life. And so when you're looking at the two of them, I always like to break it down that the ego is really kind of that safety mechanism that's been created in us that makes us live a human existence. It reminds us to be human and to live. Whereas our intuition is that spark of divine power, right? That just gives us that extra insight into guiding us through life.
Yeah, I love looking at it that way, seeing it as a whole, as opposed to two separate things, you know, ego, intuition. I love the way, or at least that's what I'm getting from what you're saying, is that this is all a part of the whole of who we are.
Absolutely. We have both, right? We're here to live a human life, but we all have that kind of divine joke in that we have a bigger existence, right? We can connect to a higher self, a higher energy that allows us and helps guide us through life.
Right. And I think that's where some people lose don't necessarily have a connection. I was going to say lose because I feel like we're fully connected when we're born. But then as we grow up and we're exposed to society and our family and all the different situations and struggles and whatever, that we tend to lose that connection.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of us choose to live that human life, and we tend to let go of that intuition. But like Lisa, James, you both know we're like all intuitive, right? Every person here on the planet has the ability to tap into their intuition.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that. I just do feel like people somehow identify so much with the ego that they're not even able to, or they're blocked, or I don't know what you would have to say about that, but you know, they can't connect to their intuition.
It's like they forgot.
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, well, you know, we last year in one of the episodes last year, we talked about being 100% spiritual and 100% human. And, you know, it seems like so many people believe it's mutually exclusive. You know, you either become a monk and live on a mountain and be 100% spiritual, or, you know, you become a slave to the material world and you become 100% human. And we always have said, and I think this is what Pasquale is saying, is that we can be both, and we can be 100% both. We don't have to be 50-50, right? Can be 100% both.
Yep.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Pasquale.
No, what I was going to say was, I totally agree. I think it's like, you know, our job here is to kind of find that balance, right? Live our life, but also retain some of that intuitive guidance so that we can live the best life, right? Make meaning out of our life. And so that really does require that balancing act of, you know, ego and intuition both working simultaneously and recognizing them for what they help us with.
Yeah.
I have a question. So our listeners are primarily left brain, logical, you know, engineers, IT, accountants, those kind of folks. And they're listening to this maybe with some skepticism. They're listening to this and saying, well, isn't intuition just really just a different region of our brain? Or it's just, you know, it's, what would you say to a person who is skeptical, maybe too much in their head?
You know, my favorite example, I think, is how many parents out there know when something is wrong with their kid?
That's a great example. Yeah.
Where does that come from? Right. That's not ego. You know, that knowing is coming from somewhere different. Right.
Yeah.
That's your intuition popping out. It's just a matter of like understanding that there's another source, that like the drive, the energy, right? It's the thing that makes us humans. It's that's that intuitive spark inside of us.
Yeah, I agree. And also when something comes to you that you know you didn't have knowledge of it, even your example would apply, like knowing when something's wrong with your child, or even like an idea that just drops in.
Usually in the shower.
It's not something you didn't know. It's not something that was in your bank of knowledge. It just came from somewhere. Inspiration, creativity, you know, when you create something that you never created before.
That's 100% intuition, right? Or even that thought or concept that like, I am thinking of you right now, Lisa, and I'm thinking of you, and 2 minutes later you call me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it happens to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
That's that intuitive spark that connects us all. And James, I love that you said shower. I have to tell you, shower is a great place where your intuition always pops out because you're in a meditative state. You're not really thinking in the shower, right? Most of us just do the shower. And when we're in there, we're letting go of that ego and we're letting our intuition pop.
Yeah.
That's a great time. It's a great time to receive intuition. I know that's true for me.
100% for me.
Yeah.
Also for me in nature, if I'm in nature, it doesn't matter how, like I could be walking in nature or even driving in nature and stuff. It's like for some reason, a lot of intuitive ideas come in that setting for me.
Yeah, probably because your brain quiets down, you know, you're so in awe of the beauty that you, you do stop that thinking, like Pasquale was saying, we're in the shower, you know, you're focusing on, you're relaxed, you're focusing on the task at hand.
Well, and I often wonder sometimes, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I often wonder sometimes if that's like Pasquale was talking about the balance, right? The balance between that's where you're sort of connected with earth and connected with, you know, very grounded in the nature of things. At the same time, you're kind of bridged into that intuitive connection to source, God and universe, whatever you want to call it. But I often think that that's a bridging time, right? You're bridged. You're like connected to both.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always like to kind of equate it to, we're doing what comes naturally to us, right? Whenever we're out in nature, we're really not worried about the stress of traffic or all the people around us, right? We're in nature and we're letting nature do its job, and nature naturally knows how to draw things from you, right? Like it's that gravitational pull that just kind of pulls that ego down and allows you to be a little more free, a little more open, and more connected.
I love that. You know, when you were saying that, I was picturing myself in nature as being one of the plants, because when you were talking about it, I was like, yeah, that's so true. Like all the plants and animals naturally do things, you know, like the flower opens up and the bee lands on the you know, like all the different pieces of how it's so natural. And so I was like picturing myself as one of the plants out there and having nature guiding me to do what I need to do, or what, you know, does that make sense?
Totally. I will tell you, I live in Arizona and I spend a lot of time just hiking, whether it's up a mountain or just through the flat desert. And when I'm doing it, I will tell you, everything just kind of lets go. I find myself just in a really peaceful, really connected state.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so we were going to talk about recognizing the difference between ego and intuition. So what are some things that we would hear from our ego? If this is where we want to go, you guys can, you know, lead this whichever direction you want to go in. But what are some things that we would hear from our ego that's like, okay, that's definitely your ego? How do we know?
So I will tell you, for me, the biggest way to kind of differentiate them, right, is when you think about ego, ego is primal, right? Ego is that instinct that was created when we were really becoming humans, right? It's that caveman primal energy. That's our ego, right? And so it's always going to be attached to like keeping you human, doing things to make you like survive. It's that instinct of survival, right? I always find that like the ego is always loud. It's always anxious. It's very, very aggressive, right? Do this now. Do this now, right? It's your ego. It's like, it's really just trying to get you to live that primal existence, right? Survival, right? Being part of a group of people and surviving. That's where our ego kind of really, really thrives. Whereas in our intuition is always soft, right? It's very like sincere. It comes from love, right? And it lives in a space of love. So it's always going to have that gentle softness when it's talking to you. And that to me has always been kind of the first way of really recognizing it, right? Your ego is going to say, like, let's say I want to go for a hike, right? And I'm ready to go for a hike, and this is what I need to do today. And our ego is going to be like, why go for a hike? It's dangerous out there. There are animals, there are snakes, you can get hurt. Don't go by yourself, right? Yeah. Where intuition is just going to pop in and go, but you're connected, but you'll be at peace.
Yeah.
Right? You'll really enjoy it. And so it's really an easy way to kind of feel where the energy goes. Ego is always heavy, and to me, like just heavy, solid. Whereas ego is always, intuition is always like airy, it's light, it's always above us, right? It's full of like this loving energy.
Okay, so I have a question about that, because I am in astrology, I have a lot of fire in my chart. So I have lots of like explosive energy. So when I feel that when I feel that explosive energy about something, to me, like, yeah, I'm going to buy a kayak, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So, but to me, like when that happened, it actually probably was guidance. Now my husband and I like kayak all the time and we love it. It's our favorite thing to do. But I don't know if it came in gently.
Excitingly, right? Came in excited. Like that to me, like instantly when you said that, oh, we're going to go kayaking, it's going to be so much fun. That to me is intuition. Because ego would be like, wait, you're going to buy a kayak? What if you fall in the water?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have had those thoughts. What about that video you watched where the whale breached on top of the kayak?
Right.
Well, and don't you think also the ego kind of, I always think of the ego as it's an if then kind of thing. Like if you do this, then you will get that. And so the ego might jump in and say, hey, let's get a kayak because then we'll be happy because we have a kayak.
Oh, ooh, good point. Yeah.
And where I think the intuition is more like inviting or pulling, where it's more like, hey,
encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow this fun. Follow the fun.
Almost like if your mom or dad or whatever would suggest, hey, we could go do blankety blank. And that's sort of in that kind of loving, inviting way versus, you know, you're good. If you want to be happy, then you've got to have a kayak, right? Because your cousin has a kayak and your neighbor has
exactly.
a kayak.
Yeah. 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 That's a great point.
It's totally true. You know, it's checks and balances, right? If you really look at everything in the world, everything is based in checks and balances, right? Yin and yang, the natural balance of everything. Mm-hmm. Ego is just that checks and balances with our intuition. It helps us still live a human life, but stay connected to that higher self.
Yeah, I love that because I like to teach that to people. It's like, you know, the ego is not your enemy. You need it. I mean, you need it to get up in the morning and brush your teeth. And like you said, it's connecting you to that human part of your life. And it's necessary and helpful. It can be helpful.
I agree. I think that it's an amazing part of us because the ego is the thing that we're here to live and be human, right? Ultimately, our goal is to live, right? Like that's the whole purpose of us coming back and living on earth is to live. So the ego is that piece that makes sure that we live, that we are actually being human.
Right. But what went wrong? How did we allow it to, for people who are just really stuck in their head, you know, how did we allow it to be the main thing that we identify with? How'd that happen? You know what I'm saying?
I like to believe that it's kind of like this cosmic joke, right? We're going to send you here. We want you to go and live this life. And we want you to learn all these lessons so that life grows. But as you go through and are born, you're going to start to forget the whole purpose of it all, right? And so you're going to get these lessons and you can choose to follow the lessons as they're presented to you. And your intuition's there if you need it. But don't forget, live a human life, right? So I think part of it is that it's that natural law, right? Like where you just kind of move through. And I also think that part of us as being humans is kind of, we step away from that because we want to be more controlled, right? We want that egotistical control of life. We want we're taught to live life that way, right?
Yes.
Well, I always say we want, there's a deep human need to have certainty of some sort, like to know. We have to know what's next. Some people that I think that manifests as control, some people that manifests as, you know, maybe manipulation or whatever, but in the end of the day it feels like what that kind of ego really is fighting for, or it's laser focused on, is that safety piece that comes with certainty, right? It's certainty is safe, uncertainty is dangerous.
Right.
And I feel like that primal sort of tug is what wins for so many people so often. Is, you know, you hear it all the time. You hear people constantly saying, Maybe there's a moment where they have the courage to step out and do something that lights them up or brings them a tremendous amount of joy. But in the middle of the process, all of a sudden they realize, oh, wait, this is kind of dangerous or this is risky. And so then you just see them naturally go back to what is safe and what's known and what is certain.
I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So many things I've backed out of because through allowing the fear to take control and just, back out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And go ahead. Sorry.
Well, what I was going to say was, for me, one of the big things is like, I think ego is important because it's part of us, right? There's a reason why we've been given that ego, right? And so I think it's good to have that. But I also think that you need to live and you need to open up you need to actually live, right? And follow a different direction and just kind of enjoy the life you have. And what I find is that when you're solely focused on ego, ego always goes to the extreme. Everything is pushed into an extreme, right? And whenever something goes into an extreme, I always find that it kind of closes you down, right? Turns your energy down. You kind of lose a lot of that luster and like life and that love because you're focusing on the extreme. You're following that energy, which always kind of winds down into a little bit of a more shadowy place.
Interesting. I've never thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense.
It's so true too, because like one of the things I do in my coaching a lot is somebody will be sharing something that is holding them back in some way, right? Some belief or some limiting thing. And I'll actually pair it back to them what they just said, but I use kind of absolutes and extremes, maybe someone would be saying to me, oh, my mother never lets me ever be who I want to be. She poo-poos everything I say and do. And I'll mirror back to them. Oh, so your mother always never lets you be what you want to be. And they kind of laugh at me, right? And they're like, oh, well, that's kind of ridiculous. And then all of a sudden they realize that's what they're actually saying to themselves, right? It's like they're just what you said, or that's that extreme of the ego. And when it's your own thought, somehow it's like softened or something, or that ridiculousness sometimes is like ignored. And
you don't realize
when somebody else says it, or you say it out loud to somebody else, you kind of go, oh my God, that's not true. I mean, to your point, I think that's really important, is that the ego does tend to be absolute. And tries to scare you into status quo.
Yeah. Well, and Pasquale, I noticed in your write-up about the workshop that you've been doing, is that your intuition knows why you're here, knows what you need to experience. And so it guides you into these situations that will help you grow, Whereas the ego, on the other hand, it's all that fear-based, like, no, don't do that because this, this might happen or that might happen. So I love that idea that your intuition has more of a knowing of why you're here and what your purpose. I hate to use that word purpose because some people really struggle with that word, but you know what I mean? Like, it knows what you need.
Absolutely. Well, it's that roadmap, right? Your intuition is your higher self. It's that divine spark that guides us through life. It's that innate ability for us that actually drives us to live, right? To do different things, to kind of open up and move beyond just the, kind of like the box that the ego puts you in, that little safety net of living life in this way.
Small, yes. Live small.
Yeah.
Shrink exactly. The game. I have a question. The word that keeps jumping into my brain right now is congruence. Like, how, if I was your client and I came to you and I say, how do I bring my ego, and I would even add my heart and my intuition, into congruence so they're not working against each other. They're working with each other. What would you tell them? Hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot here.
No. It's a great question. I will tell you, the majority of my clients are coming to me because they're looking for that more meaningful life, right? To kind of really just step into the harmony between both the ego and the intuition.
Yeah.
And so I always tell people, you know, the first thing in doing that is we have to start doing things to quiet our minds, right? Mm-hmm. We have to quiet. We need to remove energy. We need to get into a space where we aren't thinking, but we're also kind of pushing more towards that feeling, right? And just that blank slate, right? Allow yourself to just let go. Mm-hmm. And as you start to let go, your intuition starts to become a little bit more empowered, right? And as it becomes more empowered, the two begin to work in harmony.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you have any, so we like to give practical tools to our listeners. Do you have any exercises or suggestions that people can do to start letting go?
Absolutely. So in my own practice, I always teach people how to ground. I find that the word meditation is sometimes difficult because meditation is often, you know, it's there's this bias behind it, right? Sitting cross-legged with a candle and some incense and chanting and sitting there for hours and hours and hours. When in fact, you just need to practice 2 minutes a day of just letting go of energy in order to start letting that intuition start to take hold and starting to like allowing that ego to kind of be removed. So it's the first thing I teach, and it's actually what I taught in our workshop is just, let's ground, let's remove the energy and let the earth kind of pull from us all that stuff that we don't need so that we can feel a little lighter, a little more clear. And I'd be happy to share it.
Yes, that would be great if you're happy to share it.
Sure. I could walk everyone through it.
That'd be awesome.
So do we want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Completely up to you, perfect. But yes, that would be great.
No, let's do it. It's 2 minutes, right?
Okay.
And so what I always teach people is, you know, when you're grounding, it's always best to start by sitting, just because it's a more natural state. People are super comfortable with it. Sitting in a chair with your feet on the ground, okay? And when you start to put your feet on the ground, just really feel them touch the earth. And I always tell people, lift your toes up a couple times as you're touching that earth, right? And you could do it through a shoe. But just feel your toe. And as you kind of wiggle and move your toes, you'll begin to feel your heel really just start to kind of connect into the earth. You'll feel it get a little heavier there, right? And so that's always to me like the first signal in saying, okay, we're going to let energy go. And we're going to teach our body that that's what it means. So go ahead and just take your feet, put them on the ground, lift your toes a little bit, feel it start to connect. I want you to rub your hands together just to kind of warm up your chakras, get things flowing on the inside. And once your hands feel pretty warm and comfortable, go ahead and place them on your lap. And you could do them palm down just on your lap. And then I just want you to switch on that breath. And just feel yourself breathe. And just focus on that breath for just a moment. And as you're breathing, begin to feel yourself just step away. Stepping away from the moment, the day. And now bring your attention back to your feet, where I want you to begin to visualize roots just forming from the bottom of your feet. And just feel your feet feeling firmer with the ground. And with every exhale, I want you to just move those roots deeper into the earth. Feel it going deeper. And as those roots move deeper, just feel it begin to release any of the energy that's stuck inside of you. Start to let go of anything that isn't serving you. Surrender any fears and doubts. Just feel them ground into the earth. Release any of the insecurities you're carrying or any heavy thoughts. And again, just feel them ground with each breath. Let go of some of that self-judgment or that self-criticism, the mind chatter. Just feel it begin to ground and the earth just pulling that energy from you. With each breath, you're just feeling more at peace. Begin to feel quiet. Now just bring your attention back to your breath and start to feel yourself return. And as you're returning, just feel the differences inside of you. Feel the lightness, that release of energy that isn't there. And start to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes. And as you start to know that you've returned, you can open your eyes gently. Just readjust to the world around you.
That was nice.
That was great. I have to thank you because I set a timer all throughout the day because I've been trying to do those types of mindfulness type exercises or just quieting my brain several times a day. So I can check that box for one of them. That was, oh, good. We did one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been trying to do that more often throughout the day because I was like doing that in the morning and then doing it at night before I go to bed. But in the middle of the day, I just started realizing I just never quieted my mind. I never allowed myself to just get quiet. So that was super, super helpful.
And it's definitely, It's something easy to incorporate because meditation is always like this big, heavy fitness behind you. You can do this just washing dishes, right? Taking walks.
Yes.
Anytime, just letting go and feeling it move through your feet.
I love it. So thank you for that. And so we are going to, I'm hoping that we can have another interview with you because I love talking to you and I feel like we could go a lot deeper into this subject. But for we sure. have given, we've, we, that was a great practical tool that people can use. And we are going to put your website so people can find you. And your Instagram handle is The Peaceful Sage, but we'll add that there too. So people can follow you. Cause I know that I follow you and people, I know you post things that are helpful. And then do you have anything you want to tell us about? I think you have a workshop coming up.
So we actually have part two of this intuition ego workshop where we're going to, in September 14th, we'll be teaching a workshop on strengthening your intuition and really just kind of delving into how do we make that muscle stronger? What do we do to help kind of build it and grow it?
Okay, great. And then did you have another one?
And then in October, both of these two workshops are actually leading us into activating your inner spiritual being, which is just a 6-week class on just developing your intuition even further, really stepping in and connecting with energy, connecting with guides, connecting with your angels, and really just starting to use your intuition on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that begins October 13th.
October 13th. Yeah. Send us the information. We'll post that. So if anyone's interested, they can check it out.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And I mean, I feel so much more grounded right now. So I'm very grateful for you walking us through that exercise. I mean, that's awesome.
Yes, me too.
You're so welcome.
And with that, I think we'll say goodbye. Thank you for joining us, listeners. And thank you, Pasquale.
It's been great to be here. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.